Our first video recording.
I know. Look at us. This very clean bed. You can tell I rolled out of it right away, huh?
Just two baddies, though. You know, recording a little potty.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. And I love it.
I know. I love it. I feel like I add I, E, and Z's to, like, everything.
Just that's a little way flair. To do it. Add some extra pizzazz. Yeah, a little spice.
A little spice to life. You know what I'm saying?
And speaking of spice, I think we're talking about some neurospicy stuff today.
Neurospicy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, neurodivergent, I'm going to be like, are you neurospicy?
Dude, it's such a term that's, like, becoming more popular. And I love it. It makes it a lot more fun, you know? Yeah. It's a lot less othering.
Come through.
But yeah, no, neurospiciness, man, like the brain, ippy, level 10 spice. And I think it's an important topic to talk about, especially since I think you're going through a journey now with figuring some stuff out. And I've been on this journey for a minute.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about neurodivergency. And that will lead us into what we're going to talk about today for our podcast episode 5.
Yeah. So I've only like heard of neurodivergency, I want to say like a year or two ago, but it's a term that's definitely becoming more popular as we look at, you know, people who might deviate from the norm, because we have like a standard in our society that says this is how it is. And if you don't align, you're diverging from it, right? Mm. So technically, us neurospicy individuals don't fit the mold of the norm, which, hey, I think that's a benefit. And so we're in our own little space and we're really creating that space to be more accepting, more of a community and provide more resources. So, yeah.
Neurospiciness. If nobody knows what neurodivergency is, it's basically a term used for people who think differently, perceive the world differently, and therefore they're divergent in the way that their neural pathways are in their brain, right? I feel like I didn't use Google for that. That's what I know, right? Would you say that that's pretty fair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because like we see it a lot with what is technically called disorders, but I like to call them just like uniqueness. So, you know, your classic ADHD, your ADHD, which is ADHD and autism, you know, all that good stuff, especially since it's getting more traction. Love it. Let's see that normalization.
Jinx. We just said love it at the same time.
Oh my God. Owe me a Coke and I'll take it. Give me that caffeine. No more caffeine for you though.
No, because I was like having an anxiety attack before this. And I was like, why am I anxious? And I'm like, oh,
anxiety is going faster.
I drank a whole Celsius and I don't do caffeine. So anyway, I love that when we were talking about episode 5 this week, we were thinking about like, okay, what do we want to do? Because I think that when we came up with this podcast in general, we sat down and like had a running list of things that we wanted to do, right? And the list goes on for us in this, you know, in our topics, because it's like, we've got it all wrong and all these things that we're trying to like deconstruct about society. But I love this one because we were just talking this week and it just naturally came up and we were like, do we want to do that? I loved how I forgot.
You love this dynamic. Hey, that's a symptom of ADHD, which we're going to talk about. Hey.
I think that's so perfect, actually, for us to segue into ADHD. Like, let's get into it. All right, do your little thing.
Let's do it. All right. A one, a two, a skiddly diddly do. Action. Oh, hey, yo, everybody. Welcome to We've Got It All Wrong. I'm Sam.
And I'm Che, and we're two queer millennials navigating through all that is wrong with society and leaving you with ways to be your own catalyst for change. Get angry with us, cry with us, take action as we discuss today's unhumanistic culture. And as we kind of just talked about, we're going to be talking about ADHD today. And so I want to start off because I feel like this term is thrown out there a lot and we hear about it, ADD, ADHD, but like, let's talk about what it actually is. And so it's defined as a neurodevelopmental disorder that affects both adults and children. It's characterized by persistent patterns of inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity that interferes with functioning or development. And so when we talk about ADHD, there's three different types, right? There's like ADD, there's ADHD, and I'm sure there's like more that are going to come out, right? As people come forward in their invisible abilities, not disabilities. But there's like predominantly inattentive, predominantly hyperactive, impulsive, and then combined. And so I really want to open up this session today, Sam, because I know that this is something that you've known about for a while within yourself, right? And you've been navigating this space of ADHD for quite some time. So I want to open up the space for you to like talk about how that's been and like what that means to you.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you. I'll take that spotlight. Yeah. So I was officially diagnosed in 2018. It was my senior year of my bachelor's. And I like went to my doctor and I was like, yo, I can't do this no mo. Like I got to study for these classes and I am physically unable to study. And he was all like, hey, let's get you on that Addy, right? And I was like, that sounds great. And for those who don't know, Addy is Adderall. We're going to make it a little fun here. But it's a stimulant that helps with focus, right? And so I started taking it and it's like my life changed overnight. Like immediately I figured out how to study. It took me 26 years to figure that out. I started not getting as frustrated with my work or my attention span. Some of my depression and anxiety was alleviated. And I was like, oh, this has been impacting me my whole life. And it took me 26 years. And so once I figured out that diagnosis, it really helped open up more pathways for me to like really connect with my mind and figure out what I needed, because I think part of it also was I didn't want to admit that I needed additional support. But once I got it, I was like, oh, everybody needs this, because I know there's so many people struggling. Because I think you and I talked about how this is a spectrum. Like, you don't have to be full on ADHD to the max to still have ADHD. Yeah. So that's where my journey began. And ever since then, I've been on and off Adderall. And sometimes I need it more than others. Like if I'm working on a big project, yeah, I'm going to take it in the morning so I can be more focused. But it's not necessarily something I need to take every day anymore. And I think that's also an important thing because I think people might get a little concerned that they might become dependent. But it's really a tool that you can use depending on when you need it. It's not necessarily, you know, has to be in your everyday regimen if you don't want it to.
And I like what you said about it being a spectrum, because there are people that need to take it every day. And there are people like you where it's an ad hoc basis. And so I'm really excited to talk about this, because how this came about for us was, you know, you're almost at one end of a spectrum of, you know, this neurodivergency where you know you have it, you have the coping skills for it, and you've been dealing with it since 2018. Where on the other side, for me, I've noticed that this way of thinking has been enhanced for me over the last few months in this healing journey that I'm on, and also the like sobriety journey, because my mental is so clear and it's almost like I can get all the signals from the universe now, and like I want to process them all at the same time and like blah, blah, blah. And I was just telling you before we jumped on this that like I was meeting with my therapist before this, and he was talking about, he's like, yeah, it's definitely a little ADD, but also like super spiritually in tune with the universe. Like he's like, I think you're getting all these signals from the universe, and then like your human body is trying to process that with a little like ADD because you don't know how to organize your thoughts. And I also like forget things. I think we did it in the beginning of this session, which I loved. I absolutely love that, that like I had like so many thoughts come in at one time and then I forgot what all of them were. And so it's a beautiful thing. And that's why I love that we're deconstructing it today, because these neurodivergencies and these like invisible disabilities and abilities are so beautiful. And I hate that society is trying to like demonize them, because
absolutely
it's not, it's uniqueness. And I feel like, you know, there is aspects potentially of, you know, the food that we eat and the things that we consume mentally, physically, spiritually, that can definitely, you know, contribute to some of the things that we have wrong with our physical bodies. But I would say like the younger generation is, you know, increasing in numbers when it comes to neurodivergency. And let's not demonize it. Like, it's so beautiful. Like, we're creative. We're out there. We're interesting. We're bored, but excited and overwhelmed all at the same time. Like, it is such a beautiful experience to be able to experience all of these different emotions and thoughts all at one time. It's just about how you harness it, use it, and then also giving you some coping skills as well for when it gets too overwhelming.
Dude, that's so for real. And especially like what you're saying with the generational thing, because I think a key factor is that we're getting so much more exposure to it in such a positive manner. Like the amount of ADHD content that I've been seeing of people who are like explaining symptoms, and I've been learning stuff about myself. I was like, oh my gosh, there's the connection of like this to this. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but a little spoiler, apparently neurodivergent people are usually have like gastrointestinal issues. Mm-hmm. And I was all like, yo, that sounds familiar. So I was like, okay, so there's physical impacts, but because we don't explore these further, especially in the medical field, unless you go to like a specialist and actually get diagnosed, and we'll talk about that later mm-hmm. too. You're kind of just in the midst of it.
Literally.
And when you have those coping skills and you're starting to see that exposure of other people who are experiencing what you're experiencing and they're taking this positive spin, other people are going to feel more confident. So of course we're seeing numbers increase because more and more people are not only acknowledging or finding out that they are on the spectrum, but then we're turning around and saying, hey, there's this thing, I learned this, and we're all sharing it with each other. So the ADHD community is really increasing, and social media has been a huge impact on that.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because for me, I was like never diagnosed. I never thought about it until like maybe I want to say less than a year ago, something sparked it for me, because I was like having issues with like feeling so overwhelmed all the time. And yeah, I mean, how I kind of got introduced to it and started thinking about it in my own self was through Instagram. I started following some like ADHD coaches, which honestly, if you have ADHD or not, or are on the spectrum, which I believe everybody is a little bit on the spectrum of a lot of things. It's
a spectrum. We're all on it.
I love that, right? Like that's the beauty of being human. But whether you have it or not, like these tools are fire flames. Like it is so fire when the organizational skills are like refocusing skills. Like I literally started following all these people before I got serious about saying, do I actually have a little bit of ADD? Which after talking to my therapist literally today, he was like, I've witnessed you switch topics like 5 times. And then I forget what I wanted to talk about. So I want to jump right into like a first tip. And that first tip being that I'm literally going to implement today. Like this is not something that I've tested yet. I'm sure other people have, but that's the beauty of our podcast. It's our experiences. Is I need to start bringing a physical note pocketbook with me. And when I know that I am, see, you literally are holding one up.
It saves my literal life. Like I just go through notebooks all the time because it's the physical writing that really helps like sink it in. Highly recommend.
Okay, see, this is probably basic. Sorry for all those ADHD.
No, it's not okay, basic. Guys. It's exciting.
I was going to say, sorry for all those experts out there if they're like, okay, yeah, that's the most basic thing. But for me, it's like when I'm having conversations like with people like you, Sam, or with my therapist, or like my friend Ashley, who I'm here in Houston visiting for her 30th, who is very spiritually in tune. We're like so aligned. Our conversations could go on in the universe forever. Like I need a pocketbook because I will have 5 different things being thrown at me from the universe that I want to talk to her about. And I'll be switching conversations and starting conversations before I end the first one. And then I'll forget what I wanted to go to. So having that little pocketbook, not really the phone, like I want something physical, having the pocketbook to just be like, remember to go back to this will help so much in feeling like I can leave those conversations holistically and being able to talk about everything that I wanted to talk about.
And I think that's such a great entry point into the coping skills. I think that's a great starting point because I can't, like, I have the Notepad app, like, on my work computer, and I use it, but my notebook is where it's at.
The magic happens
because it's
in
something
the
about that physical thing. Like, it do, all right? It goes from my mind to my fingertips, and it feels more real. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. I remember writing this, and it really does something. And especially with what you were mentioning, like the forgetting, because some of the main symptoms of ADHD is the difficulty of not only fully paying attention because you have so many ideas at once. So you're breaking up that focus between like five different things. Of course, you're going to forget. And brain fog is also a very common symptom of ADHD. So combine those babies, you're going to struggle a little bit. And I think writing it down is such a great tool because it makes you feel better too. It makes you feel like you have more control over your thoughts and your ability to speak and share those thoughts instead of just being like, well, I forgot. And I guess I'm not going to be able to speak anymore. It gives a little bit more power in your own hands.
Yeah. Going back to what you said about there's like multiple symptoms. Let's talk about that a little bit, because one of the misconceptions that society tries to tell everybody is that like, oh, ADHD is just like when you're super hyperactive or like you can't pay attention, but there's so much more to it and there's beauty in it as well. So I know that it affects like executive functioning a little bit and sometimes like emotional regulations and things like that, both in a positive and a negative way, especially if you're a highly sensitive person. But based on your experience, like what are some of those other symptoms that is there one that you like?
Oh, okay. So I think, I'm not like in love with all of them, but what I am in love with is the skills that I've learned to adapt in order to kind of counteract. So I think going into some of the symptoms that are like a little bit misconstrued or aren't really known about that I've been kind of exploring lately is overstimulation. So what we're talking about, overstimulation of the senses. Like the other day, like I was watching a movie and throughout the whole thing, it was like filmed with what's it called? It's like the film that they use like in the 80s, like the film strip. So it was like fuzzy screen and it had this buzzing behind it. And then there was this like 2-minute section where it was just like boom, boom, boom. And after 2 minutes, I was like, I can't. And I was like shaking and I had to like go in my room and just like huddle up, lights off, and like kind of just like rock back and
desensitize
forth for a while to kind of like get that stimulation out of me. Exactly. So I don't think people like really realize that when, especially people with ADHD who are like shaking their leg or using fidget toys, that's a way to get that built up energy and stimulation out of your body. And it's such a great resource. Like that's why we saw such an influx with fidget toys, everything from fidget spinners to like those little rings that you can use.
Love them.
And they're great. They really help like with the intention of I am using the energy that is being stored in my body. I'm in a space where I can't really, you know, express that overstimulation. Here's this tool that I have. So I think overstimulation is something we really need to think about more because there should be more accommodations and understanding and care for them. Like I feel like people who are, you know, shaking their leg in class, you know, they get all the looks like, can you stop? And it's like, no, I can't. I recently saw this TikToker too, who was like crocheting in class. And she was like, yeah, I get straight A's, but everyone was all like, yeah, right. And she was like talking about how she has ADHD. And then she like pulled up her report card and she was like, So like it showed that like she could do another task that was helping her focus and that she's excelling even further in school. So it just shows that like these resources and this understanding of to others and yourself really make a difference.
They do. And also, I just want to throw in there also that we talked a little bit about, neurodivergency being up and coming, especially with statistics. And it is about 9.4% of children in the US that are being diagnosed with ADHD. And actually, it's that boys are 2 times more likely than girls to be diagnosed.
And there's a lot of reasons for that too.
I think that it's still up and coming a lot, but I think that's interesting too, because it's on the rise. So I just want to throw that out there as you were talking about somebody getting grades, because, you know, I'd be curious to see how schools are going to start being more accommodating to the human nature. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast we could talk about. It's like sitting in class. No wonder we all have ADHD. You made us sit there stagnant in our energy, stagnant in our body. Actually, let's digress because I know you used to be a teacher, right?
I sure was.
So we should not, this is a whole nother episode. Let's table it.
No, I totally feel that too. But I do want to like touch on what you're saying with those stats, because like, that's super real. Like young girls and women are severely underdiagnosed everywhere because we don't care about women's pain. Mm. We don't acknowledge it because we expect them to, you know, just do their thing, just exist. Mm. Like I remember I was reading this thing and it was talking about how when women get like, or people get pap smears and they, you know, we don't get numbing or we don't get put under for that. But for some men or people who have like male genitalia, they will sometimes get like relaxers or like before like a prostate exam or before like they examine their testicles. And I was just like, I am literally getting part of my uterus scraped out and you're like not giving me anything, but someone gets their balls fondled and they get something. Like I was like, come on. But it was just like, you know, just how like women, especially like Black women, they are really susceptible to like heart attacks. And like when they come in, the doctors are just like, lose weight or you're being crazy or whatever. So we see a lot of that undiagnoses, especially in young girls, which leads us to masking. Are you familiar with masking?
No, tell me.
At all? Oh my God. Okay. So we all do it. And I'm sure this is going to like bring up some light bulbs for people, but masking is when you're basically putting on a mask of non-neurodivergency in order to fit in with the social sphere and certain expectations. And so masking is really, it's usually associated with neurodivergency and it conceals like some of those behaviors, but a lot of people do it. And it can occur in multiple conditions. We see it a lot in ADHD and autism because we're supposed to fit in, right? And it's we're people who have had struggles fitting in, have experienced bullying or exclusion. And so what we do is we mimic social cues that we see, or we suppress our stimming, which is like expelling that energy or creating comfort, or we're camouflaging our difficulties with communication, or we're hiding our sensory sensitivities, all in the name of hopefully not pointing out that we're neurodivergent or receiving any pushback. So, and that's exhausting. It takes so much energy and it's not really talked about that much.
I love the idea of masking in general, but especially when it comes to the like neurodivergent space, because I like what you said about, you know, it being underdiagnosed, but everybody masks in something in their life. But when there's something like neurodivergency or ADHD that isn't talked about a lot, especially like when we were growing up, and isn't a lot of information when you really needed it to be, right? Because we just talked about that stat with kids. What else are you supposed to do? Because all we're taught to do is conform.
Conform.
So
like if I want to get a job, like in the interview, I'm like suppressing half of my personality or half of my quirks or uniqueness, because I know I'm not going to get the job if my answers are super long-winded or if I forget halfway through. Like I'll like during my thesis presentation, I had to like write down everything I was saying, because like in the middle of my sentence, I was like, I lost my point. And those are the difficulties we're talking about and that we're like trying to hide, which makes it more difficult for making this more normal or more normalized, right? Instead of like being like, we have to conform to this one way of communication.
I do that, especially after COVID. Oh,
I see that face.
Yeah, I do that, especially after COVID, I feel like. But I always thought it was just like stage fright. Like writing, I have to write everything out because I'm nervous that in the middle of, I'll forget everything that I have to say. And you know me, I'm like super extroverted. Like I can be on a stage. Okay. I can be on a stage.
And you can speak.
I can.
Yeah, you
project,
can.
Project. Okay. But I do think that, wow. I feel like I just had an aha moment on this episode. that is it.
Okay. And how does that make you feel? Because these aha moments are really important.
It makes me feel doubtful, like still self-doubting, because I feel still new to like even considering myself having ADD, even though I've matched up a lot of symptoms already. Like, again, I don't think that I'll ever be one to like go on to Adderall and things like that, but I'm so much more aware of it right now. So it makes me feel a little bit like, oh, is it still, or is it like, do I belong or do I not belong? Yeah. And then on the other hand, I'm like a little bit at ease because I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. Like now how can we harness that? So it's a roller coaster ride.
Exactly.
Say it again.
Exactly. No, and that's exactly how it is. Like every time I see something, like when I was learning about the physical implications of neurodivergency, I was just like, first of all, why did no one tell me this? All right. And then second, I was all like, it's not that there's something wrong with me. And it's not like there is anything wrong with being ADHD. Like we talked about in the beginning, it's just a little uniqueness. And it's all about how you're able to cope with it and to be able to cope with it and harness that new ability you have, that new superpower. You need those resources and you need that exposure. We need people to know about this and how to help those who need that little extra support or alternatives and ways to do things. Because we've talked about this in like almost every episode, there is no one way to exist or to be. And that's why we want to deconstruct these things. We're done with conforming. We see that conforming hurts more than it benefits. So why are we doing it?
I'm obsessed with that. And I think another thing that I would add to tips, especially for people that may be like on the spectrum or just like aren't sure or want to, you know, allyship is a verb. We are in Pride Month now. So remember that allyship is a verb, is like follow some of those people. We'll make sure to include some of those accounts for Instagram of people that are ADHD coaches and like advocate for it. I think one thing that I really love about this episode thus far is like we talked about it in a very positive way, which I really don't feel like I've seen anywhere else. So like props to us, but like educate yourself, like start following those accounts and start educating yourself, because like I said in the beginning, these tips are useful for anybody. Like if you want to be more organized or you want some coping skills for like anything, literally you can get it from like ADHD resources. It's so good for any human being. And just knowing that it's like not a one size fits all, especially anything with neurodivergency, it's never going to be one size fits all. And like kind of tying back to what you were saying about like in school and like how are they going to really make sure that we're creating spaces for people to bring that crocheting kit in or to bring that kit in. And I'm sorry, like, but if anybody is triggered by people doing that, it's always looking within too. Like if you don't have ADHD or you don't have maybe like a sensitivity to it and you're just like, you find it annoying, maybe you need to look at like why you're triggered. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Exactly. It seems like someone might be jealous, you know? That's what it sounds like to me. So
I want to talk about one last thing before we close out. And I want us to talk just for a few minutes about ADHD in the queer community.
Hit me with it.
I just love intersectionality in general, right?
Yeah.
And because it is Pride Month and because we are two queer queens, you know, I think that both of these communities, the queer community and the ADHD community, face their own unique challenges. And it really increases those fucking stigmas and like difficulties and diagnoses and like, along with that, like feeling comfortable in the doctor's office to get the care that you need as both of these identities and just like the mental health that really comes with it. And so I want to just like open up the floor to how do you feel as somebody who has been experiencing both of these identities for a while? And like, is there any advice that you would have for somebody that does identify as both?
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting intersection to talk about because I think especially for people who hold multiple identities, it becomes difficult because you start to feel kind of insecure about being like, hey, for this part of my identity, I have these needs. For this part of my identity, I have these needs. And you're like, okay, do I need to balance that out? Do I only ask for a couple? Do I ask for all? And that's what's been difficult for me, because I do require some accommodations at work and I required them at school. And that's okay. It took me a long time to like come to terms with that, but it is so okay. And more people are getting really, really chill with it. So advocate for yourself. Tip. But I think that's what I experience the most, is just how to navigate these identities with each other and separately, what I can ask for. It honestly, it wasn't until we were talking a little bit before this episode that I even thought about that intersection. So I kind of want to like pass it on to you. Like, what do you see from that intersection of identities?
I see the hardship that people could go through in our current culture. Like you said, just trying to be seen, heard, and valued as one or the other. And so to also combine those together, like, it just makes me think about how we really need to be advocates for creating next generations of and supporting of a culture that is for, not against, people with differences. We need to make it a space of normalcy. If somebody walks into a restaurant and has like an outburst, let's just say that they have, you know, a disability that causes them to have like a tic or something like that. How are we creating a world where everybody looks and is like, oh, okay, I could understand that maybe that's X, Y, and Z, and like make sure that there's nothing needed in the situation and moves on, instead of like somebody being escorted out of that restaurant or somebody being called out or people looking or taking videos of them or something like that. Like, that's honestly the first thought that I have, is like, how can we create a world where people can be seen, heard, and valued for all of their identities and all of the needs that come along with it, and not seen as different and scary?
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad you talked about that.
Yeah.
Like, because like whenever I see like people who like make a big deal out of someone's behavior that has nothing to do with them, I'm like, you know what kind of business this is? It's a mind your own fucking, all right? Mind your own fucking business. It's chill. It's fine. Back off. Don't look at me.
And just like normalizing natural human behavior is like what we're really all talking about. Like, ADHD is like something that is genetically passed down in most times, right? And so, and developed on their own. Like, it is a human not disorder. Oh my God, I just said it. Let me correct myself on air. It is a human ability that we have to recognize. And I just want to thank you so much for opening up about your story today and being willing to talk about ADHD today, because it is something that's like very, very common amongst people that I know. And I just think it's such a beautiful thing that people don't talk about in a positive way a lot of the time. So I'm glad that we opened up this space to do that.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad we talked about it too, because I am definitely of the belief that what other people see as disabilities are other people's uniqueness. Their differences is what makes them more powerful, more unique. And I think that's such a benefit to the world. Like, that's what drives us forward. It's not going to be normalcy. It's not going to be the standard that's going to get us anywhere near to any change. It's going to be us.
I love that. I love that so much. So anybody listening that thinks they might have ADHD or has ADHD, fly your ADHD super cape high, loud and proud, and bring your uniqueness to the world. We will be sure to drop some resources, people you can follow, and some of the techniques that we talked about today. But Sam, as always, I appreciate you.
Oh, Che, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for joining us today on this episode of We've Got It All Wrong. Follow us on Instagram at We've Got It All Wrong and check out our link tree located in our bio for ways to connect and learn more. You can also sign up for our email list so we can keep in touch and send resources directly to you on ways to be your own catalyst for change. Take a screenshot of this episode and tag We've Got It All Wrong with your thoughts so we can hear what's up from you.
Whatever platform you're using to listen to us today, please follow, subscribe, and rate this episode so that we can build our community of societal rebels and spread the knowledge on how to take back control of how we show up in the world. And remember, practice makes progress. Doing your best is the best that you can do. And
fuck society standards.
Bye.